Coming to you from the Deep South, this is the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast. High impact leadership is not reserved for leaders, and it has nothing to do with your position, title, or rank. However, it does have everything to do with your character. It's time to climb to the next level and beyond, personally and professionally. Now, let's start making it happen with your host, Max Story.
Hello, and thanks for listening to the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast today. So before we get started in today's episode, I just want to mention that I hope you're enjoying the Real People Getting Real Results series that I've started. So as this podcast is being released, previously I've got four of those episodes released, those interviews. So I hope you've been enjoying those, and there's plenty more to come as time passes by. But one thing I hope you're doing, I hope you're watching them on the Blue Collar Leadership YouTube channel and not just listening to them here. And the reason is so you can actually kind of connect with the people better. And if you really make that connection, you like who they are, you'll see on the video that there's contact information. Hope you reach out to those folks. Hope you look them up on LinkedIn, network with them, reach out to them, talk to them. Because I'm telling you, you can't get enough high impact people in your network. People who are like-minded, who are growing across all different industries. You never know what those relationships may lead to for you or for them. So take advantage of that. That series is one way I'm introducing these folks to the world so that all of you can begin to learn who all of you are, right? There's a lot more, obviously, than the ones that I'm sharing with you through that series, but they're sharing some good information. They talk about different industries. They talk about different ways of growing, how to implement and apply the principles I talk about and speak about. All of them are getting results with the stuff that I teach. And then a lot of them, you know, reading and studying other people's content. So they're sharing some other resources too. Anyway, hope you're enjoying those and you're getting value out of it. So let's roll on into today's episode, which is based on chapter 22 from my book, Who's Buying You? Until you sell yourself, you won't sell much. So chapter 22, part 22 of 30. This chapter is titled Helping Sales. The subtitle, Stop Selling, Start Helping. So I'm going to open up This chapter with a quote from Albert Einstein. He says, try not to become men of success, rather become men of value. Try not to become men of success, rather become men of value. And I'm sure if you've listened to me very long, you've heard me talk about quite a lot. Don't focus on becoming successful. Focus on becoming valuable. There's a real good chance that I really learned that. Started saying it after I read that quote that I just shared with you. I really don't remember. I read so much stuff and learn through experience and tie it all together. And a lot of stuff I've learned, I don't know where it comes from. A lot of it I do because I quoted a lot. But this quote's actually in the book. And, you know, as I'm reading, I'm thinking about that. That's if you truly want to become successful, focus on becoming valuable. If you'll intentionally become valuable, others will automatically make you successful. That's just the way it works. So when you get the sale, remember, we're talking about how to become a sales pro in this 30-part series, how to sell with character. So when you get the sale, you become more successful. If this is your primary goal, you're focusing on selling and are selfishly considering only the short-term sale. When you help the buyer get what they want, you become more valuable. If this is your primary goal, you're focusing on helping and are selflessly considering the long-term relationship. There's a big difference between trying to get to sales so you can get the dollars, and trying to help someone get what they want so they'll actually be happy long term. And they'll also be providing you positive word of mouth advertisement. So consider the two scenarios that I just talked about. And assume you have the opportunity to do business with one of the two salespeople I had just described. Now one's trying to make the sale short term. That's what they worried about, getting paid. And the other one's focused on helping you get what you want. So which one of those sales folks would you choose? It's pretty obvious. We all know. If you're a professional salesperson, though, you got to look in the mirror and say, which one are you? But which one would you refer your mom to? Which one would you refer your sister to, or your children? If you could pick between those two, it's pretty obvious to know which one is gonna build a better relationship with you. Which one you're gonna trust more? Which one you're gonna refer more? It's pretty easy. And again, which one do you believe would get the most positive word of mouth from their customers? Which one would have more sales over their lifetime? It's pretty easy to know the answer to that. It's the salesperson focused on helping. They're the ones to go win that battle. There ain't no doubt about it. But again, whether you're a professional salesperson or not, you're going to be selling something. Which one of those type people are you going to be? Because ultimately, all that is a reflection of your character. How you sell is just a reflection of your character. You're going to do it whichever way your values lead you to do it. That's why I say a lot when I'm talking about character. We can mask our character, but we can't hide it. Who we are on the inside shows up on the outside. I want to share a quote with you here from Samuel L. Parker. He made this statement. He said, "How many opportunities have you missed because you were not aware of the possibilities that would occur if you applied a small amount of effort beyond what you normally do?" He's talking about over-delivering. If you're trying to help somebody, in today's world, that's over-delivering, because most people focused on helping themselves. There ain't nothing wrong with helping yourself, but you also need to help others. That's where you create that common term, win-win. If you only focused on win-lose, that means you're trying to help yourself but not somebody else. That ain't a good relationship to be in. And you also don't want to go for lose-win where you sacrifice yourself to help somebody else. The best scenario is win-win. Everybody wins. Everybody's being helped. But the principles in this book, they're all common sense. Everything I always share, always common sense. However, like I always speak about, teach about, you must have uncommon sense to intentionally apply them and reap the rewards doing so will provide. Because common sense is not always common practice. And that's the exact reason why is what I just told you. Often to do what's commonly understood requires us to have uncommon sense. Common sense just means we understand we should do it. Doing it often requires uncommon sense. A little bit of difference there. So how can you become more intentional about helping others? What questions can you ask? How can you be of more help by intentionally developing yourself? What do you need to learn? And how can you help in a unique way? You answer some of those questions, you're going to start climbing to the next level and beyond. So I want to tell you a story here I share in the book. I mean, everything I'm talking to you is stuff I share in the book, right? But this is one I just want to make sure you knew it was in the book. But when my son, Eric, when he went to work at the new car dealer, he and I discussed how he could be unique and different. I remember that. It's been a long time ago, but I remember us sitting around talking about that. How he could help buyers intentionally, you know, on the car lot. How he could stand out from the crowd as a salesman who could and would help his customers in unique ways that were uncommon in the car selling business. The key word I just said was would. Obviously, he could help. Anyone could help, but would he help? And that's what we were talking about. How could he and how would he? So if you remember, Eric didn't get to unleash his true potential because he was unexpectedly processed straight into the sales puppet training with full and explicit expectations of selling their way on their terms at all times. If you remember, he was told, follow the script and you will prosper, young man. That's basically what they was telling him. I mean, literally what they was telling him. So if you haven't listened to that episode where I was talking about that, that was actually part 10 of 30, chapter 10, episode 367. So 367th episode is where I talked about that previously. But after I heard how he was being trained, you know, how he was expected to interact with buyers and how he couldn't inject his own values and beliefs into their scripted selling process while serving his customers, I lost all respect for those folks, for the organization and those people leading it. You know, a lot of people don't get that inside scoop. A lot of times we hear enough about it though that we can form our own opinion, but because he was working there and, you know, he was sharing with me how he was literally being trained and the script he was expected to follow, it was pure manipulation, which is common in that industry, but it's common in a lot of other industries too. Someone leading themselves as a salesperson the way I'm teaching in this book, they're going to stand out. It don't matter what industry they're in, they're going to stand out. And far as the amount of sales they get, they're going to show out because they're going to get tons of word of mouth advertisement, tons of long-term customers. But those leaders where Eric was working at that time, they were master manipulators of their sales staff and their customers. They get it wrong on both sides. Manipulating the people that work on their team and the customers they want to sell product to. They were the type of leaders that give the good guys and gals a bad name. Low impact leaders. Low impact sales managers. General managers, owners of that organization. The leaders were not focused on helping anyone. They were focused on using everyone internally and externally for their own personal success and benefit. That's low impact leadership at its finest right there. So before he knew it would be that way, Eric and I developed a plan for him to help his buyers authentically and sincerely. So when they came on the lot, he wouldn't pressure them in any way. We had already talked about it because, again, we didn't know that he was going to walk into that mess that he stumbled into. We didn't know he was not going to really be allowed to have any flexibility that they were going to hover over, smother over, basically interrogate him throughout and after every single sale to make sure he followed the script that they were teaching him, which they had determined was the best way to manipulate people. So he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to do it after they taught him, and when we were discussing it ahead of time, he certainly didn't want to do it. And, you know, although I had met Carl in the furniture store at that time. Remember I talked about that, talked about Carl and how he sold us that sofa in some previous episodes, what he did and what he didn't do. Although I hadn't met him, Eric and I had actually developed a plan to help his buyers, much like Carl helped me and Rhea. In other words, Eric and I was talking about how he could be hands-off and helpful beyond the norm. If you remember, Carl helped us. I ain't going to reteach that lesson. But if you've been listening to this series, you remember he just stood off. That's what I asked him to do. Point me in the right direction. And he pointed. He didn't hover over me. He didn't follow me around. He didn't try to sell me anything. Then when we decided what we wanted, he recommended we go to some other of his competitors, make sure they didn't have something we wanted. If you know, I just want to share enough with you, you can remember that story if you've been listening to this series. So one thing Eric planned to do was to help buyers find the exact car they wanted, even if it wasn't available on his lot. And I don't mean it's some other lot they have a relationship with. If he didn't have what the buyer wanted, his plan was not to manipulate them into buying something he did have, as some salespeople would do. Instead, his plan was to help them find exactly what they were looking for, no matter where it was at, no matter who he bought it from. If it wasn't buying it from him, he pretty much wasn't getting a commission. But he would get a lot of long-term referrals. He'd be the kind of salesperson that people would want their family members to buy from. So Eric planned to ask for their phone number, their email, not to put in a database so he could harass them later, but so he could contact them when he found what they were looking for. And sure, he'd look at any of his sister dealerships in case he could make a transfer. Because they did have more than one dealership, this particular company, and these owners. But if it wasn't there, he planned to look for it at any dealership or with any individual. He just wanted to help the buyer find what they wanted. Obviously, they didn't have to buy it if they didn't want it, but he would have made that deposit into that trust account that he was trying to help them after they left the lot. After he didn't try to sell them something they didn't want, after they were gone, he wouldn't harass them. He would help them. So Eric was going to use his slow time or time off to do an online search and notify the buyer of the details and the location where they could find exactly what they were searching for. Again, even if it was with a competitor, Eric was thinking long term. We were planning long term. We were planning how he was going to kill it. He knew the buyers would be blown away and tell everyone about him, give him referrals, and give him positive word of mouth advertisement, as I mentioned several times already. If you're in the sales world, that's what you want. You ain't going to get a whole lot of it if you focus on manipulating people. You focus on the short-term sale to pad your own pocket. He also knew whenever they needed another car or heard of someone else in the market for a new car, he'd be the first person they thought of because he would have helped them far beyond what was generally expected. They wouldn't have seen him as a salesperson, but rather a trusted friend who helped them when he didn't have to. Helping sales. You help people, you're going to make a big impact. Let's talk about the three seller beware points at the end of each chapter. So seller beware point number one, helping others when you don't have to help. Actually, let me start over. I'm reading these right here. Helping others when you don't have to helps you make deposits and grows your influence. Helping sales. Seller beware point number two. Helping others when they least expect it makes you stand out from the crowd. Look for ways to stand out. Seller beware, point number three. You don't always remember the second or third person who helps, but you do always remember the first who helps. So that's the three seller beware points at the end, just to provoke a little thought, raise a little awareness as we close out this episode. Not only do you want to help, be the first to help. If you're a professional salesperson and you help people the way I just described in this chapter, you're going to stand out, because most people who are selling ain't selling like this. All right. Hope you enjoyed today's episode, and be looking for the next episode will be the fifth interview I've done in the Real People Getting Real Results series. So I hope you're really checking those out. They're obviously longer than my normal podcast, but you don't have to listen to them all at once. Chop them up, listen to them when you can. If you don't like what they're talking about at one certain section, fast forward that thing. Whatever you listen to it on, fast forward it. Find something you like. Remember, I always teach people, mind the gold and dump the dirt. No matter who you're listening to, what you're reading, what you're watching, whether you're doing it voluntarily or whether somebody's making you do it, meaning requiring you to do it through your work or something like that, always mind the gold, dump the dirt. That means everybody's got something to say that can help you. If there's something about them you don't like, whatever it is, don't worry about that. If they're saying things you don't like or you've heard a million times, don't worry about that. That's the dirt. Dump the dirt. But look for those golden nuggets that you can stick in your pocket and you can apply them later in your life. All right. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. Talk to you next time.
Make it happen or someone else will. It might as well be you. Are you serious about taking your career and your life to the next level and beyond? Check out Max Story's Blue Collar Leadership Series books and others, now available on audio, along with paperback and ebooks at Amazon, iTunes, and Audible. Please visit bluecollarleadership.com to learn about Max books, programs, special offers, certifications, and more. Thank you for listening to the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast.